One time during a Sunday school lesson, a child learned about how God had created human beings. And he was especially interested and focused when the teacher explained how Eve had been created from one of Adam's ribs. And later in the week, the boy's mother saw him lying on the ground looking like he was in some discomfort. And so she asked him what was going wrong, and this was his reply. He says, I've got a pain in my side. I think I'm getting a wife. So, okay, if you... I got one more if you thought that was groan-worthy. My family, unfortunately, I often try these out on them. But here's another one. One time a man, he's at a funeral of an old friend. And so he tentatively goes up to the man's wife and he asks whether or not he can say a word. And she nods and says yes. And so he goes up to the front and he turns to everyone. And he looks at the crowd there and he says, plethora. And then he begins to walk back to his seat. And as he walks by the widow, she looks at him and shakes her head, nods, and says, thank you, that means a lot. I know, isn't that awful? But it's so funny. I mean, come on. Yeah, that's the kind of day this is going to be right there. So let me ask you a question. If you I've asked you this question before, but it's a good thing to think about. If you had to show someone that you loved them, and so you had to show them, let them know that you loved them, but you couldn't use, so you couldn't touch them, like hug them or anything, and you couldn't use the word love, right, what would you do? How would you demonstrate to them? How would you show them that you love them? What would you do? How would you accomplish that? Biblically, like the Bible says that God showed us, he demonstrated his love for us by sending Jesus to die, right, in our place. And so it's possible to show people, to demonstrate to people that you love them. And so how would you do that if you couldn't use those words? And I'm not necessarily looking for an answer as much as just give it some thought. And because there are ways that we can practically demonstrate and show people the love that God has for us. But we have to know that love for ourselves. We have to know the love of God. And of course, you know, it's Valentine's weekend, and so we're going to talk about the love of God. We had an exciting Valentine's. We didn't do anything. And she took me out for breakfast. But you know, you reach an age where you're like, this is like the best Valentine's ever. We're just at home. Anyways, we have to know the love of God for ourselves. For many people in our world, including within the church, there are times where we feel that we need to earn God's love, that we have to work for it, that you have to do the right things in order to receive God's love. Or you have to... And because that's honestly a lot of the way it works in human relationships, right? And we take that aspect of our human relationships and we direct it towards our Heavenly Father. And we feel the need to do right, to be better, to be acceptable and loved. But the fact is this, is that whenever you have to earn or work for the love of God, you actually feel like you're operating under a curse. Whenever you have to work for love, you will feel like you're under a curse. And here's why. Because this is the way it often works in our human relationships, right? It's like I keep trying to do right, I keep trying to do better, but at any moment, I might do something wrong and it gets pulled away from me. I get rejected, I get pushed out. And it leaves you in this place of fear and insecurity, which is not how God wants us to live. It's not how the Father operates. And so whenever we live in that place, we feel like we're under a burden, under a curse, which is not what Jesus intends for us. So 1 John 3 and 1 says this, says, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. Romans 8, it's one of my favorite chapters. I just love the book of Romans. And of course, this will be a very familiar portion of scripture. Right, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or on the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that's revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is good, isn't it? And finally, in Song of Solomon, right, it says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. God desires all of humanity to know his love, to know how powerful, how strong, how deep his love is. He wants you to know how much he loves you. And within humanity, within all of us, is that desire to know, to be loved, and to love. It's what we were created for. It's what God has designed us for, to love him, to love, to know that we're loved, and from that knowing of being loved, we love others. It's how God wants us to live, how he wants us to operate. The heart of the Father is about relationships. And relationships are about connecting with one another. One of my favorite quotes, that's not from the Bible, one of my favorite quotes is by a man named Augustine. And Augustine was born in the mid-300s and lived to the early 400s and was very actively involved in leadership in the church. And he says this. I get a little weepy every time I read this, and I've read it many times. If the written word of the Bible could be changed into a single word and become one single voice, that voice more powerful than the roaring of the seas would cry out, the Father loves you. He loves you. He loves our world. He loves you. And his love changes us, right? Interacting and experiencing, encountering the love of God changes us. And the thing is, the change that happens in us is simply the byproduct of his love. He doesn't change you so that he can love you more. He doesn't change you so that you suddenly become more acceptable to him. It's just the byproduct. And here's why, because we are made in his image, we are made in his likeness, he is love. And so when we come up close to him and he comes close to us and we experience him, we encounter him, that which is within us that wants to so desperately be like him, because that's how we're made and created, it comes forward, it comes to life in us, and we change and we become more like him. It changes us. It's not, the purpose isn't to change us, it's just the byproduct of it. To change. And so I would describe that in terms of, like, biblically, that's deep, that calls out to deep, the Bible says. It's moving us from glory to glory. That exchange, that interaction, that encounter with a Father that loves us beyond what we can understand. Who loves us so much, right, that he gave Jesus for us. His presence, his love in our lives changes us at a heart level. And when our heart changes, our behavior follows suit. We have so often, and each and every one of us, right, we have so often worked really hard at changing our behaviors. Have you ever worked at, you got a bad habit or behavior that's difficult in your life, and you work hard to change the bad habit, right? And that's all well and good. There's not, we should attempt those things, but the fact of the matter is, when we work to be loved, we feel the burden and the curse of it. I'm not saying you should ignore your bad habits or the sinful things you do. That's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this, is that we actually have an internal problem, not an external problem. I'm not saying your behaviors don't matter, but the fact is that the problem always starts in here first. We understand that the actions are the thing that causes problems and chaos and destruction in our life, but that started inside. We have an internal problem, not an external one. You might think, well, no, I've got lots of external problems, but that starts at the heart. Starts at a heart level. So think of it like this, right? If your actions stink, it's because a part of your heart is rotten. And so the change has to be internal first. It has to be a change of heart. This is what God is interested in us, in his humanity. Because as our heart changes, then our actions, our words change. Our thinking changes with it. The Father loves you. He wants good for you. He's not looking at you saying, I would love you more if you would just stop doing this. Now you might think, well, my life would be better if I would stop doing this. Sure, the Father would say, yeah, your life would be better if you'd stop doing that. But his love for you is not dependent upon it. In fact, his love is the very thing that wants to set you free from whatever that is. And so the Father loves you. I love that guy. That was obvious. You're awesome, Zach. Thumbs up, buddy. This has been the whole morning. I'm not joking. First service too. And what that tells me, God has something good for us today, right? The Father's love is always being directed towards you. Always. You are always on his mind. You are always within his sight. He is always directing his love at you. No matter where you are, no matter where you're wandering to, or what's going on inside you, whether you're experiencing it or, completely unaware of it, he is always directing his love at you. His love is uncaused and unconditional. It's uncaused. You haven't done anything to make him love you. He just does. It's because who he is. You can't cause him to love you more. You can't cause him to love you less. It's unconditional. It has no limit. He doesn't say, well, once you reach a certain level, then you'll know how much I love you. It can't be earned that you can somehow gain more of it. And it can't be reduced that you somehow then have less of it. He loves you. It can't be quenched. It can't be drowned. He loves you no matter what you've done, no matter how good or how bad it is. He loves you. He loves you. He loves the person you sat beside this morning. He loves the person you made sure you didn't sit beside this morning. He loves you. He loves them. He loves your boss. If you are the boss, he loves your employees. He loves the people that have hurt you and wounded you. He loves the people who have mistreated you. He loves the people that you don't think deserve to be loved. And he loves you. He wants to love us so much. He wants us to know and encounter and experience his love so deeply, so thoroughly, that all those selfish and evil desires and actions are just no longer attractive to us, no longer desirable. This is what he desires. This is what he wants for us. He loves us. His love for you cannot be extinguished. A flood can't put out the flame of his love for you. And we don't have any power or control over that. See, we would understand, right, in human relationships, we can hurt somebody and hurt somebody and hurt somebody till finally they're like, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. But the Father just doesn't operate that way. He loves you, and you don't have any power or control over his love for you. And what he wants is for you to encounter and experience that love, that it would set you free, that it would change you and make you more like him. It's a curse when we have to work for it, when you have to earn it by being good enough, you know, by following the rules, working harder. Now, the thing is, right, once you know and encounter his love, you just simply want to follow the rules. You just want to please him. Right? I love my wife. I love her with my whole heart. And my wife doesn't have to then say to me before I leave the house in the morning, okay, Blair, remember you have to be faithful. Right? She doesn't have to explain the rules. She doesn't have to say, Blair, remember, don't kiss other women. Oh, thank you. Oh. Woo! If you hadn't reminded me, right, I do it because I love her. Following the rules become easy. It's an expression of my love for her. And we love him because he first loved us. It all starts and ends with him. It's uncaused and unconditional. He just wants you to know his love. He wants us to live out of this every day. To be free from the burden or the obligation, the curse of having to work for love, to live in it. And so to live this out every day, we need to know and experience it. Because here's one of the things I've noticed lots of times in Christians' lives, in a believer's life, is there's a bit of a disconnect between what you know and what you believe. Or feeling, because we tie feelings and beliefs pretty closely. And so you know, in your head, you're like, well, I know God loves me. I know he does, because the Bible tells me, and you know, I've been told over and over again that he loves me. So my head knows it, right? Intellectually, you know it. But somewhere inside, your heart is saying, but if I was just a little bit better, or if I didn't do that, or you reach a tough time in your life and something inside you pushes up and says, maybe he doesn't love me. See, there can be this disconnect sometimes. And I've heard people say, well, I just need God's truth, right, to drop from what's my head down to my heart. And that is true, but then I've never heard anybody in a decent way explain how that's supposed to work. Because usually what we do is we say, well, just pray more, just read your Bible more, just maybe serve more. We do all work stuff, right? Just do better, and eventually your heart will change. And you know, there can be some aspects and truth to that, but the fact is, what God wants is for us to simply encounter and experience his love. He wants you to know it. And so in a few minutes, we're going to pray and we're going to ask the Father some direct questions about how much he loves us. And instead of talking right directly to our mind, I'm going to ask him to speak to our heart and our emotion. Because God cares about everything, every aspect of our life. So you might find yourself, right, you say, yeah, there's a disconnect in my life, and I often find myself striving and having to work for love. Or, you know, maybe you might also have experienced, if you're not striving, you maybe have said, well, if I'm not good enough the way I am, let me show you just how bad I can be. Come on, this is what we do in humanity, right? Because it's deep within the heart of each and every one of us to love and to be loved and to love others. It's what we desire. It's what God intends for us to live in and to operate, to walk in day by day. And so in this, the Father has some things that he wants you to know about him. And these are out of scripture and they're not going to be up on the screen. I'm just going to read through them, I'm going to tell you some things that he wants you to know about him and then some things that he wants you to know about you, about us, who we are. So here, listen to these. The Father wants you to know that he is always accessible and approachable. He is always available to you. Even in the midst of making a bad decision or committing something, doing something you know you shouldn't, he is completely, fully, wholly available to you. There isn't anywhere you can go where he can't find you. That could be an oh for some. It's supposed to be a good thing. You always have an open door to him. And in that, he always has an open door to you. Your heart and your mind might not be ready for it, but there is nothing that stops him from talking to you. There is nothing that prevents him from approaching you. Nothing. See, our sin issue has been dealt with. The internal, right, we have an internal problem. Jesus took care of that. We still live in it and experience it day by day. How we define ourselves matters. Here's what I mean by that. Right, when we identify ourselves, when we say, well, I'm a sinner, boy, it sure makes it a lot easier, right? To sin, to focus on the things that are wrong with you. But if we understand that Jesus paid for the sin, that we were then cleansed and made right with God, and we're now sons and daughters, we're adopted fully, wholly into his kingdom, right now we have a different approach and we can say, okay, I know there's some broken pieces in my life. I know there's some areas where I'm weak and I'm struggling, but I'm his child. I'm his. And so I always have an open door to him, and he always has an open door to me. He is faithful. He is always faithful every time. So even in the midst of doing the things that you know bring destruction into your life, you can turn to him and say, Father, I don't want this. And he doesn't go, well, I'm waiting for you to get it right. It's not what he does. He rushes up close to us and says, I love you so much, son, daughter. My love is to set you free from this. He's faithful every time. And what he wants is for every part of our life to know him and to be interactive with him, because he's not interested in an insensitive, empty, obsolete religion that just follows rules. He wants us to know him. He wants you to know that you are not alone. You're not alone. When you're striving and working for love, you feel alone. You feel insecure, but you are not alone. He's always with you. And when you feel alone, when you feel isolated, we tend to do funny things. We misbehave. And God wants us to know that he's always with us. He wants you to know he is not trying to control you. He is not trying to control you. In fact, right, the Bible says that God encourages self-control. He is not trying to control you with rules, with do's and don'ts. Again, right, the rules get based out of our love for him. He's not trying to control you. In fact, what he wants is to release you into life in order that you can enjoy him, each other, and his creation. God, the Father, cares about you, and he wants good things for your life. He wants you to know that this book, the Bible, that he's given to us, that, Scripture, it isn't just this ancient book that's dead and full of rules. Are there some rules and do's and don'ts listed in there? Absolutely. But it's so much more than that. This is living. This is active in our life. We had this discussion just in our staff meeting this week, and one of the staff said, you know, like when we open the Bible, it's like looking into the face of Jesus. See, this is always an invitation. This is always an invitation into knowing him, into experiencing and encountering him. And he has good in mind for us, even in the midst of it. He wants you to know that you can talk to him. You can tell him how you feel without fear, without condemnation. You can say, God, I'm scared. God, I'm unhappy. God, I'm angry. You can tell him all that. I mean, he already knows, right? But he wants you to verbalize it, to tell him where you're at. And he doesn't, it's not like you tell him and God says, oh my gosh, I was not expecting that. I need a little bit of time away from you before we can talk again. Right? That's not how it works with him. We can tell him. And that kind of time with him is developed in relationship, a place of connecting. He wants you to know that he will never leave you. He will never forsake or betray you. He wants you to know that your sins are as far as from the east as from the west. That is a beautiful thing for us. Your sin is as far as from the east as from the west. He loves you so much that his whole goal and purpose is to just set you free to be like him. He wants you to know that he will help you in overcoming your bad habits and your evil desires. He isn't waiting for you to get it right so that he can love you more. He wants you to be loved so that you can be set free. He will help you. The Father wants you to know who he is. And he wants to talk to you. And so here's some things about what he says about us because of who he is. He says this, he says, you are my child. John 1 and 12. He says, you're my friend. John 15 and 15. We're his friend. He says, I don't condemn you. Romans 8 and 1. He says, we get to share in what Jesus paid for in the cross and the resurrection. Romans 8, 17. He says, in Christ we have wisdom, righteousness, and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30. He says that we are new creations. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, you are the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You are the righteousness of God. This is one of my favorite words in the Bible, righteousness. If you've been here, you've heard me talk about this. The word righteousness means to be as you ought to be. It's the best definition of it. To be as you ought to be. Many of us are looking at all the things that are broken and wrong with us and thinking, oh, I ought to be better. I ought to be this. I ought to be that. And God says, no, you are as you ought to be. Now, his love, right, changes us and makes us more and more like him. And this is one of the incredible things about him is that he looks at us and says, you are exactly the way you ought to be, but my love will make you more like me. I don't understand that. Because I think it's a mystery that we won't fully grasp or fathom until we get to the other side. Because it's hard for us in our humanity to accept that, well, I'm the way I'm supposed to be, but wait, you tell me I need to be better? Because that's how human relationships work, right? But it doesn't work that way with him. He makes us like him because it's just how he's created us. We are right with him. You are free, Galatians 5 and 1. There's no other reason he set you free but for you to be free. He doesn't say, hey, now that you're free, here's all my lists of rules and demands for you. No, he just, you're free. You're free from sin. You're free from fear. You're free to be who I've made you to be. He says that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1:3. He says that we're chosen, holy, and blameless before God, Ephesians 1:4. He says that we're redeemed and forgiven by grace, Ephesians 1:7. He says that we're seated with him in heavenly places, Ephesians 2:6. You are seated, your spirit right now is seated in heaven with God. It exists there. Seated, it is planted, it is firmly rooted in heaven, your spirit. See, we often have this picture, this thought that heaven is just somewhere way out, way beyond the cosmos, right? A place that is unreachable. But the fact is that God would say, no, heaven is right here. It's just right here. How loved, how acceptable do you have to be that heaven is that accessible to you and to me? It says, we've been brought near to him because of the blood of Jesus, Ephesians 2:13. You are near to him. Even, you know, even in the times where you don't feel it, you don't sense it, he says that we're near. He tells us that we're now members of his family, of his body. We get to take part in his promises, Ephesians 3:6. Colossians 2:10, he tells us we are complete in Jesus. 1 John 5:4 tells us that we're overcomers. Philippians 3:20 says that we are citizens of heaven. And Philippians 4:13 tells us that we can do all things through Christ. This is who you are. Why would he make us this way? Because he loves us. Right? You read through that list and you think, if you're keeping score, you might think, I'm maybe passing. To him, he says, you've got 100%. Because it's uncaused, it's unconditional, it's unearned. I mean, consider all those things that I just listed. And what father says those things about their child? It's a father who loves without limit, who's looking to bless and not curse. What the father wants is for us to know him. To know him, to encounter and experience his love. And so this is what we're going to do this morning. We're going to pray, and I'm going to ask the Father to talk to you. I'm going to ask him to speak to you, not to your head. Your head will be involved, okay? But here's, because your head might already know the answers. I hope your brain's engaged. Some of you look a little groggy. Here's what I mean. He wants to speak to your heart. He wants to speak to your emotion. He wants to speak to that belief system, right? Because your head will say, because one of the questions I'm going to ask you is, Father, do you love me? And your head will go, I know he loves me. But there's sometimes, right, a disconnect. There's something in your heart that says, I'm not entirely sure. And so we're just going to ask simple yes or no questions. And there's just two. And the first one is, Father, do you love me? And the second one is going to be this. We're going to ask, Father, are you proud of me? And the reason we're going to ask that question is to deal with striving or the need, the feeling of the need to earn, to work for love. See, you can know that you're loved, but still feel like worthless. And so one of the questions to ask him is, Father, are you proud of me? And what he wants to speak into is that issue of your worth, of how deeply you are loved. And the thing is, we're going to do it this morning, you can do this anytime, anywhere. When you're feeling insecure, when you're feeling like I need to be better in order for the Father to love me, you can just pause and stop and ask him, God, is that true? Father, do I need to do better to be loved? Father, do you love me? And just wait. Simple yes or no. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to invite you right now where you are to close your eyes. Begin to focus on Jesus. Tell him that you love him. Right? And you might think, well, I don't feel that. I don't sense that right now. That's okay. Right? This isn't about being fake or false. It's about leading yourself in the direction towards the truth, the direction that you know that you want to go, that God has for you to go. So tell him, say, Jesus, I love you. Father, I love you. We love him because he first loved us. And so as we express that love, it's leading us towards him. Push aside the distractions, the things that want to barge in, and just focus on him. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you love us, that your love is uncaused, that it's unconditional, that you just love us. You love us so much, God, that you freely offer it to us right here, right now, that we would know it. We'd know it in our head and in our heart. God, may you eliminate, get rid of, destroy those disconnects in our life where our head knows the truth, but our heart feels insecure. Where, God, maybe we've been hurt and wounded and told that we're not worth loving. God, may you come in and heal and deliver and set free now in Jesus' name, like only your love can do. So, Father, we open our hearts. Open our mind to you right here, right now. Holy Spirit, may you speak. And we ask this question, Father. Father, do you love me? God, we recognize that sometimes we get things wrong, we get things backwards, things get mixed up and broken in us. When we might know that you love us, God, we still don't feel like we're worth being loved. So, Father, we come and we ask right now, right where we are, right here, right now, Father, are you proud of us? Says this, he says, my child, I know you. I know you. I know your name. I've always known you. I knew you before I made the world. I knew you. I carried you in my heart.
heart. You are mine. You belong to me. I love you with an endless, everlasting love that nothing in this world can extinguish or put out. I hear him saying, my child, I need you to know, I want you to know that I see the hurt, the pain that's been brought into your life from others or that you've brought into your own life. I see it and I love you. I have always loved you, and I have for you a freedom. I have for you healing, complete and whole healing for your hurts, for your brokenness. He wants you to know that he has created you for more. For more than just enduring or surviving. He's actually created you to be a victor, to be an overcomer, to rise up, to walk in victory, in the love, the grace, the power of Jesus. And that while maybe you don't know it or think it right now, he actually has a destiny in mind for you shape those all around you, where they will encounter the love of the Father, his love through you. With some worship this morning, and then if you want prayer for anything today, I would love the opportunity to pray with you.